From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, Dr. Alan Cairns will continue a series of messages on the subject of prayer. From the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Dr. Cairns is setting forth Christ's instructions to his disciples as to the proper way to pray, the passage commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. The opening words of the prayer, "Our Father," speak of our relationship to God, as well as the reverence with which we approach Him. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, in coming to God, we recognize Him as the Creator of all things. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. But first, he addresses a subject very much in keeping with this emphasis upon prayer, the intercession of Christ.
There are very few complete success stories in the world. You take the great victories of, say, nations on the battlefield, and you realize that their so-called success masks a lot of failure. Britain and her allies won the First World War. They won the Second World War. But that success came at a great price. In many ways, you could describe it as a lesser failure than the so-called defeated German armies. In other words, human success is really very seldom complete. But there is one success story, the greatest success story of all time. It is the gospel story. The Lord Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and He saved sinners. Jesus Christ came on a particular mission. He came to save His people from their sins, and He does and will save every one of His people from their sins. He came on a mission. He came with a definite purpose in view. And there is absolutely no failure in Christ's performance of what He came to do. His aim is exactly the same as His accomplishment, and what He accomplished is everything that He set out to accomplish. So, we read, He died. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And now, until He comes again, He intercedes as the great high priest at the right hand of the Majesty on High, which is to say, in the place of all heavenly power, the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes. He takes our case, our cause, and as our advocate, He pleads before the throne of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Wherefore He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them." You see, the priests of the Old Testament all had one thing in common. They had to lay down their priesthood. It was transferred to someone else. When Aaron died, his son, Eleazar, took his place. When he died, Phinehas, his son, took his place. And so down the years, one replaced the other. But the Lord Jesus Christ has an untransferable priesthood. He is a priest forever, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. His is an undying priesthood. And today He does intercede. He does appear as our great high priest. What a wonderful comfort this is. Christians today in many parts of the world, perhaps you're one of them, are enduring great afflictions, great trials. They are facing great challenges. They feel deep perplexities. They have foes within and without. It seems to them that Satan can laugh at them. And they feel, we're going to be swallowed up. We're going to be defeated. We can't continue. Perhaps it's bodily weakness. Perhaps it's family or business troubles. Perhaps it's persecution. Whatever the cause may be, God's people in many parts of the world are suffering deep affliction. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have prayed for you. Satan does desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Let us understand this today. Let us take comfort in it, that the Christ who died for us, the Christ who rose again for us, is now interceding for us at the right hand of God. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
When we come to God, Jesus did not tell us to pray, "My Father," but "Our Father," emphasizing that a Christian never stands alone in the presence of God, stands in union with Christ, and is part of the great communion of the body of Christ, the people redeemed by His blood. Now we want to take the next step as we think of our Father. Not only do we not stand alone in the presence of God, but we stand in a very intimate relationship with God. He is our Father. Underline the word. Now that's a title of peculiar tenderness and of great beauty in Scripture. There is a sense, of course, in which God is a Father to all His creation. In Scripture, the very broadest significance of the title Father as given to God means simply Creator. For example, the angels are called His sons. He's therefore the Father of angels. Job 38 verse 7 says, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God," that is the angels, "shouted for joy." Not only are the angels His sons, but all human creatures in that sense are His sons. In Isaiah 64 and verse 8, we read, "O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay and Thou the potter. And we are all the work of Thy hand." What does it mean, Thou art our Father? In this sense, we are the work of Thy hand. Thou hast created us. That's why in Luke chapter 3:38, we read that Adam, and it's speaking of his creation here, Adam was the son of God. And it's why in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, God is called the Father of spirits. Now, that's the basic significance in Scripture of the title Father given to God. It's very clear, however, that is not the chief idea in the Savior's mind, as He tells us, "When you pray, say, Our Father." Of course, it shouldn't be overlooked. When you come to pray, you ought to remember, but first and foremost, before any other thing that describes your relationship with God, there is this one fundamental thing, and that is, you are His creature. When we come to God, we ought never to forget, we're coming to the Creator of all, and we are His creatures. When we come to pray, it is always good to remember how we got here. We're not here as a blip on the great screen of cosmic evolution. We are not here as an accident. We are here as the creatures of God, in the purpose of God, and therefore for the glory of God. And we ought always, as we pray, to remember not only how we came to be here, but why we are here. This is fundamental when you're praying. Remember why we are here. I pointed out earlier in these studies that we come to pray for the glory of God. Now, God does work in a way that is for the good of His people, but God does not exist for the ultimate purpose of our good. We exist for the ultimate purpose of God's glory, and in His goodness, He does good to us. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things." Listen, "and for Thy pleasure, they are," or they exist. Here you get to the ultimate purpose of our very being. We live in an existential age. When people ask what are called existential questions, and it usually is just the expression of the same old darkness and unbelief. Who am I? What is my purpose? And then they turn to some half-crazed Indian guru who's as dark as the outer darkness of hell to get the answer. Here is the answer. Who am I? I am God's creature. Why am I here? I exist for His pleasure, for His glory, for the fulfillment of His purpose. That's why I'm here. And the verse ends, that's why I was created. The whole purpose of our being. When you come to pray, never forget that. The glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mention this just in passing. I don't want to get into it, for it's a huge theological subject. But the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it takes the two great essentials about God, if we are ever to know Him and worship Him, and it brings them together in a perfect revelation. Every other religion in the world ends up caricaturing God and therefore denying Him. One is the transcendence of God, what some theologians call the holy otherness of God. God is absolutely different from us. In essence, in being, in nature. But you know, there's no way we can ever reach out to an absolutely and solely transcendent God. There's no point of contact. So there is the immanence of God. Transcendence is God as He's described outside of His creation. Immanence is God described as He, as it were, comes into His creation. The gospel brings them both together. The transcendent God, to whom we could never approach, has approached unto us, and He has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through His mighty redemptive work. He is the Creator. We are the creature, and therefore, when we say our Father, we ought to remember it. Perhaps you can go no further than that. Perhaps you're one of those people and you've never come to any assurance of salvation for yourself. If you've been here in past Sabbath mornings, you've heard me say, Our Father, that tells you that true prayer is the sole privilege of the sons of God. And you ask, well, if I have no knowledge that I'm a Christian, may I not cry to God? Have I no entrance to God's presence? Will He never hear me? And of course, that brings you to the vicious circle. If I can't pray until I become a Christian, and I only become a Christian by calling on the name of the Lord, how can I ever begin? Good question, but there's an even better answer. God is the Father of all creation, in the sense He created and He sustains them. And you are His creature, and you should cry to Him. I don't for a moment mean that you may make a convenience of God while you simply live in defiance of Him and rejection of His Son. But what I mean is that you should and you may cry out to your Maker. I acknowledge that Thou art our Father and I am the work of Thy hand. I desire to enter in to the fullest sense and meaning and measure of the fatherhood of God and the sonship of man. Lead me, therefore, as a creature of God, to an assured faith in Christ, that I may receive Him and thus receive the power to become one of the sons of God, not merely as a creature now, but as a creature redeemed by grace in Christ. For you know, that is the full meaning of the Lord's words in the Lord's Prayer. When He says, Our Father, He's using the word Father to refer to a special relationship which God has with those who are redeemed and who are reconciled to God by the blood of His Son. Now here I have to cut across all the sentimental mush that for centuries now has been preached by what is called the liberal movement, or the rationalist movement, or the modernist movement. They're really all names for the same heresy. It's come down to us as the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I've already said, as far as being creatures, God is called the Father of all His creation. He produced it all. But when you talk about being a child of God spiritually, you've got to understand something. And that's very simple, but very awful. According to this book, spiritually, sinners are not the children of God. When we use the word children to speak of the family of God who are rightly related to Him, who are not merely His creatures, but who stand in a right saving relationship with Him, who are ready to be embraced and brought to glory, when we speak of the children of God in that way, then we hear the words of Christ to the Jews of His day. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. The Lord Jesus is now speaking in terms of spiritual relationship. And He's giving us this awful truth that there are many of God's creatures, His human creatures, who are in such rebellion against Him, and they're so estranged from Him, so far from Him, so rebellious, so wicked, so unclean, that He says, you are far from being the children of God, the children of the devil. And if you want to know your spiritual pedigree, just have a look at your heart and your life, because you are doing the lusts of your father, the devil. What is the lust of the devil? You may say, well, that speaks of adultery, fornication, murder, bestiality, perversion, all those. Yes, it does include those things. But those are only the fruits of the root. What is the root lust of the devil? The root lust of the devil is to remove God from the absolute sovereignty of His throne. When He said, I will be as God, that was the devil's lust.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.